Welcome back, everyone. I'm Michael Finney. This is Consumer Talk on KGO. The telephone number to call, 808-0810. Coming up, can you check your child's credit report? How safe are roller coasters? And right now, summer tax saving tips. Helping us with that is Dan Morris. He's with the California Society of CPAs. Hey, Dan, thanks for giving us a piece of your Saturday.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Michael. I hope we have a great time here.
We will. I've got to tell you, this is a time to be thinking about your taxes, not next April, right?
Oh, absolutely. You should be thinking about your taxes and how to reduce them every day, because the government figures out how to spend them every day, and that's not anti-government. That's just, if we think about it while we're doing it, you'll organize your life for next year a little bit easier. You'll prepare those forms in April of next year and maybe save a few bucks.
One tip I tell people is, if it's not your thing to worry about taxes, don't overcomplicate it. So hang on to your receipts, write on the receipt what they were for, get a shoebox and throw them in. At least you're hanging on to them. That's better than doing nothing. Less is better than nothing at all, I guess, is my point. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. In fact, I just had a meeting with the Northern California IRS, and they reminded us that deductions aren't really necessarily a right, they're a privilege, and if you can't support them, the IRS under audit might disallow them. So, and if you're not a tax professional, go ahead and put it into an envelope, log in what it was about, who, what, when, where, why you think it might be deductible, and allow your tax professional to give you some counsel and advice. It may never be deductible, but if you don't have the receipts or the records or the memory, then they won't be able to pull that out of you, and you really don't want to guess next April.
Yeah, I mean, it's better to have it and not use it than just not have it.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Okay, now let's talk about vacations. I have friends of mine acting. I don't know if they actually have the guts to do it, but they write off their vacation somehow. They say it's completely legal. I can't even imagine walking down that road. Is it legal? Is it possible? Under what circumstances?
You know, I'll tell you, there are ways to mix that business and pleasure and receive some level of tax benefits. It's certainly simpler if you're self-employed. So, for example, let's say you're a self-employed architect, and it just so happens to be that the National Architectural Convention or the state convention happens to be, say, in Hawaii, and you need to have continuing education. So why not pack you and the family and go to Hawaii, stay in the one room? Now, your expenses for your travel as the architect and the hotel associated with your travel and the meal associated with your travel, that clearly should be deductible. Taking your spouse and your children, you know, that's personal. Don't get greedy. Don't try to deduct that. but if the primary purpose of the travel is business, then the Internal Revenue Code believes that there is some benefit there. If you're a classic, let's say you sell twine, right, and you know that the second world's biggest ball of twine is 50 miles down the road, and you're on your Chevy Chase vacation, that's probably not the business purpose, and just go learn about the twine, but don't try to deduct it. So, you know, the old adage, bulls make money and bears make money and pigs get slaughtered. So, if we're just careful about it. But if there's a business purpose, if you're an employee, so, you know, you as an employee of KGO, if you want to go to a convention but KGO doesn't think it's a really great idea, well, then you might be in a little trouble, because you'd have to defend to the Internal Revenue Service that it was in your best interest to go, and why didn't your employer reimburse you? So there are some caveats there. But self-employed easier, or if it enhances your ability to continue in your current job, there are ways to look at that. Of course, write it down, consult a tax advisor, make sure it applies to your specific.
Well, there's an organization I go to every year. It's the Investigative Reporters and Editors. It's going on right now, so I don't go every year. But I go nearly every year, and KGO Television pays for me to go. I've got a bunch of friends that show up. Their stations don't pay for them, and they foot their own bill. Now, that's a legitimate tax write-off, because in television there's a good possibility they're going to be sued. They're going to be fired in a year or two anyway. So, I mean, they got to keep their skills up for the next job. Wouldn't they consider that legitimate?
Yeah, I would think that would most likely pass the test. what you'd want to do is have some documentation. Maybe in their case, their station says, we'd love to really send you. We don't have the budget, but certainly it's not vacation time. And you want to, the Internal Revenue Service will frequently ask for the reimbursement policy of your employer. So you just have to look at that. It's a facts and circumstances, but you want to document that you went to the convention, it was for business purposes, you attended the events, and, you know, you really weren't on vacation and just happened to take a detour.
Right, right. Yeah, like you can't, like, you know, swing by Henderson, Nevada for an hour for the seminar and then go spend the rest of the time in Las Vegas.
That is correct. That is correct. More than 50% needs to be associated with the business purpose for it to be deductible. If it's outside the United States, there are a completely different set of rules. So if you want to go to the European Television Reporter Convention, then you have different rules for that as well.
Oh, what are those? Real quick, and then we'll move on.
Well, in a nutshell, you know, if the primary purpose in the United States is business and it's domestic travel, all of the travel would be deductible, so the airfare flight to Vegas, right?
Right.
But if you're going to go to London and you spend 60% of your time at the convention but 40% being a tourist, only 60% of the time of the airfare might be deductible. It's much more restrictive in the pro rata basis.
We're talking to Dan Morris. He's with the California Society of CPAs about summer tax saving tips. Here's a big one, and I think a lot of people know it, but I'm really concerned a lot of people don't. If you have children and you're sending them to summer day camp because they're not in school and you're at work, that's like having a nanny, so it's tax deductible, right?
Absolutely. If they meet the age requirements, so it's really 12 and under. They like to say under 13. I think it's easier 12 and under.
Okay.
It has to be a day-type camp. If there are two parents in a household, both parents are employed or at least or full-time students. There are some other caveats if there's disabilities involved. A single parent, of course, wouldn't have the second spouse aspect. But, yes, a day camp. The other thing they might look at is what if they're shuttling for the local Girl Scouts or Brownies or Boy Scouts or some other charitable group as the scout master or whatever the troop leader is, they might receive some mileage credits for shuttling the children to the day camp as well on behalf if they're an officer or they're a troop leader. There could be some additional benefits besides child care credits.
But let's talk about the child care credit. So if you have a stay-at-home spouse, the dad doesn't work, then you can't get the write-off for summer camp, right?
Generally speaking, yes. Okay. Now, if dad was disabled, there might be some avenues. But if dad just happened to be the stay-at-home dad, we're unfortunately, it's designed to subsidize the cost that parents incur for watching their children so that both spouses can work in a traditional kind of a
right. Yeah. Okay. How about sleepaway summer camps? I mean, it's the same thing. Some people use that as child care.
Unfortunately, the overnight camps don't qualify.
That's not fair.
Well, it's not very fair, but, you know, there's, I think, only one place in the Internal Revenue Code where it says fair, and that's fair market value. So, I mean, it's not designed for fairness or equitableness. It's designed to collect revenues and
how many clients have you
policy.
Said that to, Dan? How many clients?
Oh, hundreds. You know, I'm old, but I hundreds. You know, it brings a chuckle to people. I've even said it to some members of Congress, so it's okay.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever been audited?
Have I personally been audited?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, there's a leading question. I have fortunately not, but I have certainly represented many, many people around the country, mostly in the Bay Area, who have been audited. And audits are increasing, absolutely.
Well, yeah, we're big time in debt, so they're looking to find more money, right? Isn't that generally how it goes?
No, I think it's two things. I think, you know, audits aren't necessarily designed to find more money, although that's an avenue. They do rate risk every tax return that's filed. They look for compliance. I mean, and they'll look for compliance to find out if the rules are unclear or the instructions are unclear, because if they are, they want to make instructions better, right? They really don't want to make them as such a morass as they really are. The other thing is that they will do matching, right? I mean, the computers are getting more powerful and faster to match all those 1099s that you receive from every renter and stock agent and bank account, and they're matching it against your return. And so those will flag various
They can see more. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Hey, Dan, answer this question. I've only got about 10 seconds for you to answer it. Basically, in this country, if you're self-employed or own your own business, you're in a lot better standing with the tax guys than you are if you're an employee. If you're kind of an employee, you're a chump, right?
You are. You have greater opportunities to use the tax code to your benefit if you're self-employed.
There you go. Dan Morris, California Society of CPAs, with summer tax-saving tips. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Now let's head into the newsroom, check in with Kim McAllister, find out what's going on around the Bay and the world.
Thank you, Mike.